Welcome to episode 18 of Digital Outbox. Hello and welcome again. It's Sunday the 4th of October, and being the 4th, we've actually got four people on the podcast this week. So joining me as usual is Shaquille. Hi Shaq.
Hello.
And Chris. Hi Chris.
Hello there.
And for the first time, we're joined by Henry. Hello.
Howdy doody.
I hope you can keep that energy level up throughout the night.
Yeah, sprightly that was.
Well, you know, have to make an impression. Well, I'm always making an impression. It's not always a good one. I think that's the problem.
Oh, we can't stop them talking. It's all good. So I just want to point out that it was Old Firm game today, and it was Rangers 2, Deviants 1. So happy days all round. And sorry for alienating half the Scottish people listening to this podcast, but no luck.
And I'd just like to say congratulations to Ben Klukas for winning the Britcar 500 at Silverstone last night.
Who?
Ben Klukas, my racing mate.
Who?
Britcar was the race that Top Gear did 2 years ago, I think. He won it yesterday. There you go.
Two minutes in and the tumbleweed's out already. Let's go on with some tech news. Biggest story this week was probably Google Wave. Did any of you guys get an invite?
No.
Neither did I.
A unified no.
So Google Wave came out. Everybody was clamouring for one of these 100,000 invites. Lots of eBay sales as well. So auctions for just one invite and going for between £20 and £60. And from what I can pick up in the other websites and looking at the video previews, it looks like it's email crossed with IM, and that's about it for the moment.
Do you know anybody who's actually got an invite?
No.
No.
Barely no mates.
Mm.
I'd say email crossed with IM crossed with collaborative documents, so you know, your Word type affairs. But
can it do anything that we can't do in Google Docs right now?
Can embed videos. I don't know if we can do that in Docs.
Yeah, I'm struggling at the moment to see where this is going to be the next big thing. But then
I think everyone's feeling about the same. They're not too sure. Maybe they're saying this is one of the things that's only going to work when you've got lots of people using it. 100,000 people isn't really a lot of people because you're not going to know very many of them.
Sure.
I think it'll be really useful for people who spend a lot of their time online, like writing emails and maybe talking to people. So maybe it might help them find new ways of communicating more efficiently. It could turn out to be something special, but hard to tell at the moment, I think, until I've had a go myself.
Yeah, and that's how I feel as well, that we need hands-on time. So
yeah,
hopefully,
perhaps it's a corporate document thing, you know. Maybe it's more corporate, but focused rather than end user.
Well, certainly I thought for us putting the podcast together, it would be a nice thing to try. So I was hopeful of an invite, but alas, we didn't get it. So moving on, Chris, you've got a couple of internet and broadband stories to take us through.
Yep, just a quickie to say that ICANN, which is the organisation responsible for regulating the internet, which did come under the kind of direct supervision of the US government, has now been opened up. So they're now independent of the US government, or more independent, which is generally a good thing for the rest of the world. Well, we say that. It could be a good thing. Let's see how this pans out. But basically, it means that there's less chance of them being, you know, too US-centric in all the decisions they're making. So the European Union, for one, are very happy about that decision.
But that's quite a change on policy, isn't it? Because last year they were talking that they would never give up control.
Yeah, and it's yet to be seen whether it's going to be a good thing or not, because actually having someone in charge is probably a better idea than what's happening now, which is everyone has an input, which means that it might not go anywhere, but you know, as in nothing, maybe no decisions will be made, but we shall see.
I think one of the issues with that though really is the commercialization of that kind of thing. You know, when they had the problem with your DNS updates, you'd try and put something into you know, they would force you to go to a particular website and things that they were sponsoring, so they were getting the advertising revenue from it. That's really not the way to go for something as something like ICANN, which should be independent. But that's kind of the US government for you, isn't it, really?
And I think hopefully it will be more independent now. Hopefully this decision means that. But yeah, hopefully that'll knock off all the cheekiness, because that was a bit cheeky, that. that whole thing. But it might not matter anyway, because our broadband's only suitable for requirements of today and not tomorrow, according to a new report out by Cisco. So we're just about scraping along at the moment. We've come out 25th out of 66 countries in a recent survey.
Which is pretty low.
Yeah, it's pretty low, although they do sort of say, don't take the ranking as the whole story, because next year the situation will be very different for the UK, because there's quite a lot of investment going into fibre and cable to... cables. So, well, basically the landscape will change in a year, so it's not going to look that bad. But at the moment, we're only fit for now. Not
yeah,
for
but all the other countries could be updating as well, so we could be worse. Mm-hmm.
Yes, but we might be fit for it rather than not.
I don't know. I still have my doubts just where Britain's going. I mean, the digital Britain stuff to me did nothing. I still don't think the 50p is enough.
Well, I think the 50p is going to be enough to bring everyone up to what we're doing now, but that's not looking to the future, is it?
No, because in a year's time, you know, I mean, if you think the year before iPlayer, could anybody have predicted the success of iPlayer and how much, you know, impact that would have on bandwidth? So, you know, where are we going to be in a year's time? What if we're all streaming games? What if OnLive actually does work and takes off and we're all starting to stream games? What if Spotify becomes massive and we're all streaming music?
Well, but the thing is, surely that's to do with the infrastructure as well. And if it's not really up to it, then we won't be doing those things, whether we want to or not.
And we'll just end up...
That's what's kind of annoying, because companies like BT, they don't seem to be like pushing us forward as quick as maybe they should be. There are like other countries out there that like way ahead of us.
Yeah, but I think they're looking.
Korea.
They're looking for, you know, government investment.
That says it all comes down to money, isn't it? They want more money, but maybe the government should then. Invest in that a bit as well.
But maybe there's more money coming in.
So, yes, Chris, there's internet overtakes television regarding advertising revenue, which I was quite surprised at. Last year, and in fact, UK has been the first first major economy it's happened in, where there's been more money spent on advertising on the internet than there is in TV, which just goes to show, I think, just how TV is shrinking, or the landscape certainly is changing. So £1.75 billion just in the first 6 months of the year. So for internet, that's a 4.6% increase. And I don't know about you guys, I was surprised by that. I knew there was money obviously spent on online advertising, but I thought TV would still be miles in front.
I certainly, yeah, absolutely. I couldn't believe the story, but... I think the TV companies have come out and sort of tried to defend their market, saying, look, you're not comparing like with like. TV is based on, is one media. It's a video adverts on TV, and the internet is basically a whole different landscape. So with the search advertising, things like YouTube advertising and banner ads and things like that, they're not, you know, internet is one big thing, and TV is just part
of
a wider landscape.
TV always used to compare themselves with print. And radio, you know, so they were quite happy to lump sectors together before as well.
I mean, that sounded like them defending their their sales as much as anything.
Maybe they just need to be a bit more imaginative and try to use the technology that they have to see how else they can, you know, maybe try and improve their advertising revenue.
But I guess
go on.
No, I was going to say, wasn't it? We were talking about, you know, there's obviously a lot of advertising money on the internet, but that, none of that's actually going into the infrastructure in any way, is it? And it's all just going to companies and making profit.
Unfortunately, as the big bucks do appear, they'll be wanting to increase their, tools and features that enable them to sort of track results and things. So I think it will go into infrastructure eventually, but whether that's at the root or just for their own gains, I don't know.
So staying with TV, big Freeview retune this week. Seemed to be causing some problems.
Yeah, so on Wednesday we were all asked to retune our Freeview boxes to basically set the path for Freeview HD coming later, and also to enable Channel 5 to be received in more homes around the country. But it appears that the retune has had the effect of having Channel 5, but at the expense of ITV3 and ITV4 on a lot of people's systems. And there's quite a few complaints about that. I don't know why you wouldn't want Channel 5 for all its wonderful programming.
I don't know why you'd mind about losing ITV3 and ITV4.
No, there we go. It's just all reruns. So. They're all just reruns. So, I mean, does it matter?
I mean, such classics as Tree Man and Wolf Boy.
Where did you dig those up from?
Man.
I've watched them. Yeah, any show that basically degrades someone in a just about okay way.
So I know it's more of a digression, but what was Wolf Boy all about?
Very hairy boy.
Oh dear.
It was really, I mean, it's such a sad thing, yet they make their TV program. It's like the Circus Freak TV, isn't it, basically?
A very hairy boy.
I know.
Okay, Chris, so people... when you say that lots of people were upset, you really mean that you were upset by using ITV 3 and 4?
I missed the latest episode of Wolf Boy where he goes for a shave.
Yeah, that was the latest episode. It took the whole episode to do that.
The thing I'm quite surprised about is how many people, and I guess it's when I was talking to my mum through the week and a couple of her friends, it's how many people don't understand what Freeview is and what this retune is and why they're having to do it and why some boxes don't work and does this give me HD and what is HD?
And yeah, there's still quite a lot of confusion, isn't there? I think also, you know, considering we're going to digital only, well, some people have already gone digital only. I think I read it was about 10 million TVs have now got Freeview boxes or have got a Freeview capable, but there's still, you know, in the region of 60 million TVs in the world. I'm getting all wrong, 60 million TVs in the UK. So, I mean, that's a lot of people that when the switchovers happen are going to be without TV for a while.
I thought there was more than 10 million.
Okay, I might be remembering the facts wrong.
Ah, you're probably right, and I've just made it up.
No, I think you're right, though. There's a whole issue here with people expect these Freeview boxes to work just like the old radios that they bought 50 or 60 years ago. That, you know, some people still have those radios that they've got and they're still working. And it's not just an issue with Freeview boxes. It's actually something to do with the DAB radios and things as well. You know, people think they're going to work forever. They're expecting them to last as long as their old radios is invested a lot of money in them, and actually they may not be working in a few years' time just as technology moves on. And exactly. I think it's a bit of an issue.
And another thing that came out through the week, once this retune had happened, I think it was either on the same day or the day after, the Channel 5 executive said they were talking about moving to pay TV only, just because they don't think the advert market can keep them afloat, which would mean another retune in a year or two's time to move them away from the new mucks that they're on.
Yeah, but I don't think pay TV for Channel 5 is going to work for them either. I mean, do you know anyone that would pay for Channel 5?
Chris probably would.
Or maybe, oh, okay. Yeah. All right.
There you go. So I don't know. I feel quite sorry for, you know, a lot of people that just used to buying a TV and expect it to work, and they now have to do retunes or add channels. Or, I mean, I saw one advert through the week that said just go back to factory settings and that'll make it all work. I thought, what?
Well, the advice that they've given officially is, if it didn't work the first time, try it again. Typical PC advice, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, turn it off and on again.
The advert I saw was, you know, look up your manual and see how to reset to factory settings, which I thought was a disgraceful thing to tell anybody.
Well, there the thing I heard... Issues.
Oh, sorry, go on.
I was just saying that the thing I'd heard was that they said, find a friend or family member that knows about these things and will do it for you.
Find a geek.
Find a geek, yeah.
Geeks for Hire.
That should be a Geeks for Hire or Find a Geek. That should be a website.
I'm going to register it right now.
Right now, there we go.
I think there are wider issues with Freeview anyway. In the recently my parents' Panasonic TV, which I guess is a few years old now, which came with inbuilt Freeview tuner. The tuner itself has lost. Well, it can't cope with now the number of channels that are on Freeview. So I don't know if the specification hasn't been future looking enough for some older boxes, but effectively, they had to add a new bit of hardware into their TV to actually get all their channels back again. And again, it was chopping off the channels that you don't want to lose, BBCs and the main four.
Ah, geeksforhire.com's gone. Damn it. I wonder if the .co is available. I know we should be doing a podcast right now, but this is a bit more interesting.
Yeah. Maybe, I think maybe you should start with putting an advert in a shop window for us and then move up from there.
Geeks for Hire. We could get the photos of us all in it.
Oh, dear.
Pick a geek. Yeah. Which one looks most friendly? So
now, all geeks need to know how to secure a PC from virus attacks.
Well, surely all Windows-loving geeks need to know how to secure a PC from virus attacks, Chris.
I think Apple brethren should help along the process by having antivirus on their operating system as well.
And we are with you, brother, to help you along. But Microsoft,
I've got antivirus on my computer, my Mac.
Have you?
Yep.
Are you mad?
Nope.
Oh, but you'll get snow leopard. Very good of
you. Thank you for helping me out a little bit. Microsoft this week have released their Security Essentials, which is a free antivirus piece of software for anyone who has got a genuine copy of Windows. So that's XP Vista, and also going forward, it'll be Windows 7. I installed it today on an XP machine, and it seemed pretty straightforward. It's a one-click download, and it's run, done a scan. It's actually still scanning downstairs because that PC's full of rubbish. But we'll see what it comes up with.
But it does.
Have they brought this out because their previous effort nobody paid for, so they thought
they've probably got the technology sat there, haven't they now? And
okay.
And I don't think anyone really wanted to pay for it.
Well, I'm trying to remember. It was Windows Defender, wasn't it? Was there?
No, it was like there was something else.
One service or something. Like
that's
that.
It. Yeah, that's it was it. One yeah, something. Yeah.
Okay. I actually thought this was a good move. Because it just means that they can now just say, yeah, there's viruses out there, there's bad people writing stuff like that, but we protect you.
Mm. It'd be interesting to see how it compares with like AVG and there's another one out there that's free.
Yeah, there's quite a few free ones now.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, it has pissed off some of the big paid for ones, because I think people do think that Microsoft can probably write a piece of antivirus software without causing too much trouble. people like Norton have been a bit annoyed by this.
Well, Norton should be annoyed. They've been ripping people off for years.
Exactly.
Exactly.
They're absolute scum.
It's not just Norton. I mean, that Macaque. that's rubbish as well.
Macaque.
Macaque.
Trademark Macaque.
Macaque.com for all your antivirus needs.
Again, for everyone though, having a unified thing that comes with Windows or is able to be downloaded straight away by someone who doesn't really know what they're doing is great.
Not you're talking down to anybody in our audience at all.
I mean, for the average user, a free software is fine. I think free antivirus software, and you know, big businesses, they can stick with the paid for stuff for just a bit more peace of mind. As a sort of average user, I don't see why anybody these days has to pay for an antivirus anymore.
Mm. Cool.
No, you do find even with the free versions that if you're a company that you've got to pay for them anyway, so they don't seem to have the
things like AVG are only for home use; they're not for corporate use.
Yeah.
Excellent. Same with Microsoft. We talked Chris, you spoke last week about the Bing market share. I think it was.
I was talking about 0.9% up or something.
I was going to say 0.1.
I can't. So, I'm trying to make it sound better because you're just about to piss on my fire.
All I was going to say was your story last week was how Microsoft had increased their market share by a ball here. So a tiny, tiny amount.
I do apologise for my story last week. I listened to it back and that was particularly rubbish.
They've dropped. So they've now, in America and globally, their market share is now down at 3%.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair to Chris, he did say that it might be just one of these peaks that they had. And
to be honest, I agreed with Chris last week as well. If you look at it, I mean, it's been a couple of months since it was out, and usually when there's a new search engine, people try it, and if it doesn't work right away, they just go back to Google straight away. But it did look like people were sticking with it.
I think there's more to come from this story, but seeing as it was a rubbish story in the first place, and we've kept it going 2 weeks now.
Well, the only bit I wanted to put a little spin on was that Google this week have actually added in some more search options. So if you do a search, if you just do a Google search on anything, so do a Google search on Bing, you've now got a show options at the top. And when you open that out, you can see any time. So you can see recent, past hour, past 24 hours, past week, specific date ranges. And there's actually a lot more there. And I think this is an answer back to Bing.
I think it's Google now concentrating back a bit of their resources onto their core market, their
definitely
search.
But I think it's only
they realize they have to.
It's only because Microsoft have invested some money, they've got a competitor. And if you look back at IE6, Microsoft are quite happy with IE6 as a browser, and then Firefox came along and it kind of forced them back in the game. So competition is good.
Competition is good, but do you think some of this is to do with Twitter rather than Microsoft?
Well, I think some of it is certainly the real-time results are definitely trying to fight. I think not only Twitter, but Facebook as well. I don't know if any of you guys use FriendFeed, but Facebook bought the FriendFeed technology. And when you looked at FriendFeed and just how everything was coming in real-time, I actually thought it was a really nice site. Mm. And it'll be interesting to see how Facebook integrates that kind of technology over time. But I do think there's this clamour now for real-time searching. And Twitter seems to become, I mean, Twitter is the place that we find news now. You know, when you go on Twitter, if something big's happened in the world, somebody's tweeted about it, or it's a trend. Yeah.
I still don't use Twitter that way, really, but I accept that kind of thing is there.
Yeah, I mean, I don't use Twitter either, but recently I have been. And yeah, I mean, Ian's right. You can get the latest news from there immediately.
Yeah, and I don't mean it as
it's bite-sized stuff, isn't it? But you might find a link to an actual website, so it's
but I don't treat it as a. And I guess what I'm saying is I don't treat it as like an official news source. It's not like a BBC News or something like that. But it is a kind of, you know, it's where it looks like the kind of, you know, I guess this generation are going to post news quickly or get reactions or post up quick reactions more than
it's a step up from the post office queue gossip.
Well, it does give you the jump on when the news stories are where they're actually
definitely
going to be,
because definitely. BBC News and I mean a lot of the news, Sky News, they're always having to check their sources, make sure it's right, type up a story, you know, whereas you've got, you know, just people like us just throwing up stuff straight away. So it's all good. Spotify, we have mentioned quite a few times. When the iPhone app came out, they offered an option to actually download content onto the phone for offline playback. That's now been added on this week to the desktop client. So I'm still a premium user. I've managed to stick with it for a month now, and I've paid for another month. And it's, I don't know, I really do think they are offering a really compelling service compared to iTunes.
I think they are. I think it's becoming stronger and stronger by the day. But it's still, I haven't subscribed, and I don't know if I'm going to pay. Is it still a tenner a month?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not sure I'm going to do that, but it certainly seems like a... But then again, I don't spend any money on music on iTunes, so...
Do you know what it does, and does it actually download the tracks when you go offline?
Well, so what you do is you select a playlist, and you've got a little option at the top. In fact, if you'd been on our website, I did a little screencast all about it. But never mind.
I saw it. It was very good.
You click a little toggle box and just say make available offline, and as soon as you do that, it starts downloading the tracks. So the tracks are downloaded and saved locally on your machine. So all I did as a test was just disable my Ethernet port, and it played back fine. So the music's heard locally.
I assume that you can only play that through the Spotify front end.
I think I'm assuming that as well, and I've not dug into it in any way. I'm assuming there's DRM.
That's certainly what I heard. Certainly what I heard. You could only play it, and you could only keep playing it as long as you had a subscription that was valid.
Exactly. And what
seems to be the
issue is nobody knows how often it checks to see if you've got a valid license. You know, is it once a week? Is it every time it starts up? The iPhone app seemingly checks every time you start up, but nobody's quite sure about the desktop app, which you could have open and running and never shut your computer down.
The next step to add more value to this premium is to have a certain number of tracks which you can keep DRM free, and you know, so you can upload to your media player, whatever, per month. So you're allowed X number. So if you discover a band that you like, you can maybe download a couple of their tracks, and that they're yours to keep to add that value.
I think somewhere where they could really actually hit home is, I mean, Apple have got the Genius type things. You know, you listen to a bit of music. You've got Genius in your sidebar that's saying, here's all the music you can go and buy. I mean, Spotify could be just saying, here's all the music you can go and listen to. You know, they've got a massive library there now, but it's actually not the best front end for going in and finding things. There's a search and you can find it all yourself, but there's a real opportunity for them to say, we've got this massive library that you could actually be listening to right now.
So music discovery, basically.
Yeah, I think they've got a real hidden market there. Around that, more so than Apple with the Genius, because you're
Pandora did a good job of that, didn't they, with their Genome project.
Definitely, because with iTunes, to listen to it, you actually have to go and buy it. So a lot of people are like, oh, do I want to buy this? I don't know, and I can listen to 30 seconds. You know, with Spotify, I can listen to the whole album. So I definitely think there's more to come for that. And also they actually added PayPal as a payment option.
Which is a good step, yeah.
Yeah, so I do think there's real traction behind them, more so than anything else I've seen. I think they've got a real
I think their product gets more and more compelling, but just for me, I don't know if it's just me, but it's not yet compelling enough for me to part with my tenner.
Nope. So all I'll do is I'll update in 4 weeks' time and let you know if I'm still going to keep it going.
See if you're still doing
it. And it's all about me using it. At the moment, I'm using it, and I don't know if it's just because it's new. Shiny and new. Anyway, it's that time that we talk about Apple and we wake Shaquille up. Yeah, he's still there. So, I'm just looking down. We've got a lot of Apple stories to cover. So, we'll rattle through a couple of these quite quickly. Apple to buy PlaySpace, which I've never heard of PlaySpace before until this week. But seemingly they bought this company back in June, or June-July time this year. And it's a Google Maps rival, basically. Which I think, or what seems to be the take from everybody else, is that this is a step to protect themselves against, you know, a breakup from Google. You know, they're heavily reliant on Google Maps. They've got Google Maps burnt into their APIs right now. So
many people have, though. It's not just Apple that rely on Google Maps API, is it?
But it's the amount of app developers that have actually, you know, started burning in Google support as well through the API. Well,
have you noticed that there's been an article out today, I think a couple of days ago, just saying there are now adverts in Google Maps on the iPhone?
Oh, I didn't spot that.
Yeah, I just came across it before we started the podcast. It's like if you look at a specific area and then they might sort of put a little pin, I think. It's either a pin or an icon for like a restaurant. And it will show you all like there, and you can click on it and you can see all the sort of businesses in the local area. It's almost like an advert placement. And I think the article was saying that they're not sure yet whether Apple get any of the revenue from that advertising or whether it's all Google.
If it's all Google, they won't like that.
Yeah, and so that kind of makes sense if they want to replace Maps with their own thing.
that was a nice end.
Yeah.
So moving on to use that quote. Big story, I guess, this week in the UK was that Orange and Vodafone are to sell the iPhone. Not just the 3G, but the 3GS as well.
Woohoo! Competition.
At last. So Orange will be this year, Vodafone from next year.
They say early next year, don't they?
Yeah. There is no news on tariff or prices or dates, but certainly within the first 2 days, Orange had 65,000. Now, they've said reservations. I don't know if it's reservations or just people saying, keep me informed.
Yeah, that sounds more likely. How would you reserve something if you have no idea how much it's going to cost you?
Exactly. You know, so I thought that was a bit cheeky saying that we've had reservations for it.
Although, from what I've been hearing very recently, it's very likely that the cost is going to be exactly the same. And the only difference is going to be the network.
And I was surprised because initially there was a couple of analysts saying it's definitely going to be a price war. And that was certainly some of the stories I'd read on day one and two of Orange and Vodafone says there's no way all three will be competing. There's no way all three will be selling the iPhone without competing.
I believe, though, that part of Vodafone's agreement was that they wouldn't start a price war with it.
Yeah, and that's what Vodafone said at the end of the week. But surely...
That sounds like illegal
that's
price fixing to me.
That's what I don't understand. And, I mean, for all we know, that I guess you don't know how they do their deals currently. I'm not saying that all our mobile phone operators are engaging in illegal activity. Or maybe I am. But just for somebody to come out and say we won't compete in price sounds wrong.
Do Apple products sell in different stores? They do, don't they? I think you can buy from John Lewis.
But generally, if an iMac's selling for £1,000, it's £1,000 everywhere.
Yeah, so there must be a way that they can legally tie that in. Companies have to agree to sell it for the recommended retail rather than start a war. So there must be a way of them enforcing that without it being illegal.
Mm.
I don't know how. Sounds bad to me.
It does. So it looks like for some people, that'll be very good because one of the big criticisms has always been O2's 3G coverage. Mm. Which for me has been not bad.
It's rubbish for me.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see if we get more options around that or better options over time. I don't even know if they'll start to compete on the price, might be the same, but under certain deals, you get more minutes.
Well, the thing is, you know, you think of the timing of this as well with Orange. Obviously, I haven't upgraded to 3GS, and I'll be coming out of my contract in, I think, January.
Yeah, it will be January, yeah.
So, I mean, I kind of felt a bit let down by O2 with the upgrade option with the 3GS.
Mm.
But I'm not pissed off like maybe other people are. But, you know, if anyone is pissed off, you know, it might be compelling enough reason for them to say, right, I'm switching from O2 to Orange. Yeah,
Well, it certainly would mean that they would have to think twice about those upgrade offers because people can jump ship now.
Exactly.
I think also if we can get them competing on their network itself, their network infrastructure alone, that's great as well. We might see some improvements there.
We can get them competing. How are we going to do that?
Placards.
We, Mr. Braithwaite. You won't get that, but Ian should.
I do.
We love in jokes here.
Well, I found it funny. Moving on to some rumours around Apple hardware, which I know Shaquille loves and Chris absolutely despises. But
despise is a hard word. It is pretty much like that.
But get a bit fed up with.
Define despise. Anyway, there was some, obviously you're familiar with them as well. One of the reports was about the Mac Mini constraints. It's like the stock levels are being reduced.
Yep, so this is the iMac and the Mac Mini as well, yeah.
Yep, and obviously this is for the new products coming out soon. I think you were saying to me earlier on that it's almost kind of confirmed that there'll be new iMacs.
Well, so Apple Insider has been posting the last couple of weeks about iMacs and Mac Minis. And then, and most other sites are just, I mean, it's quite incestuous. They're just basically regurgitating the same rumor, you know. So you can probably go back to one site, post it, and everybody repeats it, and it turns into Apple are about to release.
I think we could start our own rumors if we wanted to.
So, but all mines would be about, you know, no, I better not go there. It's just going to be rude.
Well, I mean, some of these articles are quite new because up until last week, I wasn't aware of the Mac Mini.
Yeah, but
possible refresh, you know what I mean?
I guess the one that kind of counted a bit more for me was Darren Fireball. So John Gruber seems to have a lot of good sources within Apple.
Yeah.
And he posted up, and he was reacting to the rumours about the new keyboard and mouse. Mm-hmm. So there's a new keyboard and mouse casing appeared on the FCC website, which is supposedly where you're, you know, all this should come up first, but they were quickly whipped by Apple and replaced with just a placeholder type image. So everybody's expecting there's going to be a smaller keyboard and a new mouse design, and that seemed to be alongside rumours about a replacement of the Mighty Mouse or the less than Mighty Mouse, because I hate that mouse. I think it's one of the worst mice I've ever used in my life.
Yeah.
And they're talking about instead of the ball on top, it's going to be all touch-based. So that'll be interesting.
Yeah. I'm not sure about that at all.
No, I'll stick to my Logitech. Thanks very much.
Yeah. I think there was another... It might have been Apple Insider. There was an article and they had renders of the new mouse.
Mm.
This was before the multi-touch mouse rumor came about. And it was slightly more pointed at the front and had a kind of... it still had the two buttons at the sides that you can squeeze, but it looked kind of weird.
But those buttons at the side that you can squeeze are just crap.
They are, but I think... Because I'm obviously...
They're unusable. I mean, and this is a bit that winds me up. Apple paddles on, and it's always about, you know, one button this, and we all think about ergonomics and design. The mouse is a piece of crap.
To be honest with you, I use them quite a lot for expose.
Oh.
But when I went to Mac's house this weekend, I did use this Logitech.
Mm.
And I actually really, really like that, so it could be my next mouse. But anyway, I mean, going back to these rumours, I think I'll believe it when I see it. It sounds all... too good to be true.
I never really finished off. The one thing that Gruber also said was that he believes the keyboard mouse would be showing up alongside the Blu-ray iMacs.
Right, yep.
So I think that's the... I mean, lots of people were saying, you know, redesigned iMacs, thinner, possibility of Blu-ray, but he seems to have come out with this definitive, you know, he believes if he was a betting man, this is what's going to come. Which I must admit, I'm still quite surprised about putting Blu-ray in an iMac now.
Well, again, you know, I think I'll probably like to wait and see because remember before the new iPods came out, there were all these rumors about people wishing for certain things and they don't appear. Blu-ray kind of makes sense. Is it, do you know if it's supposed to be a Blu-ray burner or is it just a reader?
No idea.
I think it makes perfect sense. I don't see why you'd be so skeptical about it. Why wouldn't you put a Blu-ray disc in it or a Blu-ray drive?
The way I feel about Blu-ray at the moment is I wanted to view Blu-ray. I want it on a big screen. And yes, it's a 24-inch screen that I've got. Mm-hmm. And yes, it looked good. And yes, it can play back 1080p. But I just can't see many people, if all they had was an iMac, then starting to, you know, buy Blu-rays for it.
Yeah. But at least there's an option. I think there's no reason not to do it. And because I'm sure the price of Blu-ray drives is coming down to, you know, sensible levels.
And possibly you're right. If they turn around and said it's a paid for option, so here's a base price. If you want Blu-ray because it's useful for you, pay $100 extra or whatever.
Yeah, I think that's how it will come out.
Mm. I mean, you're absolutely right. Maybe if it's in a Mac, then people could use it as like a second source. So they might have a proper Blu-ray drive in their sort of main room. And then maybe computer room, they could have a secondary drive.
Yeah. The big...
go on.
I was just going to say, the big one for me is the Mac Mini.
That makes more sense because you could have that under your TV.
Yeah. And also, I don't know if you saw, there was an article came out yesterday that there was 3 adverts looked to have been released early. I think it was in the Netherlands.
Yes.
And the adverts are all talking about the thinner iMac, the cheaper Mac Mini. So it was €100 less than what it currently is, but it was more up-to-date hardware. So yes, I can't wait. I've got a decision to make. I put up a blog post this morning on my own blog just saying how that's me. I'm now in my fourth year of Mac usage, and to be honest, the hardware's all working really well.
Yeah.
You know, I couldn't hand in heart turn around and say I need new hardware.
But you've got an itch.
I have got an itch. You know, and the thing
you're going to scratch that itch?
Well, I just feel that if I bought a Mac Mini, that I wouldn't want to keep the MacBook Pro and the iMac. It's just getting too busy. I'd rather just have, like, you know, a couple of devices and that's it.
So if you upgraded your iMac to the Mac Mini, would you then upgrade your MacBook as well? Or would you keep it?
No, I guess what's in my head is, like, I'd sell the laptop and the desktop I've got just now, buy a Mac Mini, buy a new MacBook Pro, and buy a Drobo. And then all the media, all of my files, everything would sit on the Drobo, and then I would just have, like, the software I need on.
You do sound like Callie Lewis now.
Yeah, I mean, if you were in America, you could use the Callie Lewis promo code and get a cheaper Drobo.
See, the only thing I'm glad about is that I don't watch her anymore. I know as a fellow podcaster I should probably be going yeah, but
she's quite cute, but her voice is like an irritating mouse.
I guess you could gag her. Anyway, there are some more rumours. Shaq, would you want to take us through some of the tablet ones?
I can do. There's some rumours that will be announced on or before January the 19th, which could tie in nicely with the keynote that they do at the beginning of each year. Possible release dates would be around middle of the year, 2010. So it's supposed to be like a 10.5-inch screen or thereabouts, possibly two models, one with 3G and one without. Display around 720p. Which, I suppose...
Well, it can't be any bigger, really, for that size of screen.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm thinking 720p on a 10.5-inch screen, is it really necessary? But then again, you know, maybe it does look better, I'd have to say.
I think that'll look lovely.
Yeah, and obviously they're saying it's still to receive the final approval from El Jobso, so...
Do you think the courier announcements that we've seen, or not announcements, the sort of the concepts that have come out, do you think they might show Apple's hand? Do you think that, because I mean, people are buzzing about them a lot at the moment.
I think I don't think they really care what's getting said. They'll announce it when they think they're ready.
Do you think they might take some of the courier ideas? Because it certainly looked like a
If you look when they brought the iPhone out, they'd obviously had it for months beforehand.
Yeah.
But there was a whole load of other smartphone stuff happening at the time, and they just didn't feel they had to do anything.
I mean, talking about the courier, how long has that been in development? Does it not anybody know?
Nobody knows anything, really. I mean, it's a prototype device.
Yeah.
That got leaked out, and there seems to have been more leaks to Gizmodo this week.
I mean, could that be a knee-jerk reaction to the tablet that Apple have been working
on?
Well,
that is exactly why it's come out, but it seems like they've got more of an idea what they want to do with their tablet.
I mean, you can go back to videos from 2000, I think it's 2002, 2003, of Bill Gates standing up with a tablet PC and writing on it.
Yeah.
You know, they have been trying to do tablets for years and years.
Well, it's interesting what Chris just said about Microsoft knowing, well, having a better idea of where they want to go with the courier. Because there was another report this week that I came across, which was discussing the possible uses of the tablet. And apparently Apple have been approaching print publications about releasing content on iTunes. And I mean, when I say print publications, it'll be like book publishers and maybe even newspapers about, you know, publishing and releasing content onto iTunes.
Mm.
So the Kindle market, basically.
Yeah, and basically the article went on to discuss the fact that the tablet has been through several iterations already, and the project has been, like, reset by Steve on a number of occasions. You know, and this was because Apple were trying to decide how people would actually use it when it came out. So what they're saying now is maybe the eventual goal is to release like a device that will be used for basically it's almost like hybrid content. So it'll be like drawing from audio and video and interactive graphics and sort of media content, almost like a reading device, but a bit more interactive rather than just having, you know, like not a Kindle, but having a bit more to it.
Well, it's funny you say Kindle, because I know some of the people that got a Kindle in America, what they got most usage out of was waking up in the morning and having all the newspapers already delivered electronically to their Kindle.
Yeah.
Which actually sounded quite, you know, it sounded quite a good way of working.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that I do at the moment is when I wake up, reach for the iPhone and look at the Sky News app just to catch up on some of the, you know, articles that have just come out.
Mm.
But yeah, I mean, that makes perfect sense. And I think we've obviously discussed this in the past as well, like what would you use a tablet for? And obviously it's not a simple question. That you could use it for anything you want, but this kind of makes sense, you know, instead of just having, I think we talked about maybe a possible music device with a bigger screen, but again, it just doesn't make sense, you know. It just seems like a lot of money for something just to listen to music on.
Yeah.
But this, you know, it's a new way of consuming news articles and maybe reading material. Yeah, I can see that being maybe used a bit more. You can just imagine that in lots of university campuses, you know.
But the e-reader sort of getting that tied in, and the fact is that they can last, you know, I don't know how long it is between charges, but something like a tablet is going to be struggling again on a daily basis, isn't it?
So yeah.
You're going to have to charge it up all the time, especially if you want to use it on the go. I mean, they've got to get that battery right, whatever they do.
Yeah. I mean, the battery's got to last the full day of usage.
Mm.
If it doesn't, it's dead to me.
But I'm thinking more than your traditional, you know, 10 hours. I'm thinking if you can last 15, that's...
Well, to me, as long as you could get through like a kind of work day type thing, because if you can get through a work day, it means you can use it all day at home, assuming you're not at home. You know what I mean? You're home for certain hours of the day.
And that's a work day of actually using it as well.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at the phone, I mean, I'm now having, every day is a photo, it's charging the phone.
Yeah.
I think that's just what we're all becoming now used to with the smartphones. You use them for so many other things that they need to be constantly charged. Final rumour around Apple TV.
Yep. Again, you know, this is just like a strong rumour, but the Boy Genius Reports website was saying that their tipster thinks that an updated Apple TV could be in development, and it could probably come out with a touchscreen remote control. And there was like a picture of it on the website. It looks like an elongated iPhone, to be honest with you, with a menu, which is almost like just a list view. Again, it's a rumor, but what sort of gives it some credibility is the guy who tipped them on this is the same guy who tipped them about the iPhone home screen organization in iTunes and the social networking components. So, you know, it adds a bit more credibility to it. But again, it's just a rumour, so it could be wrong.
That's not going to help with the pricing of the product, though, is it, if you're having a touchscreen device to...
Yeah, but again, it depends on how functional this remote control is. I mean, if it's just like a simple screen with a couple of options to, you know, click on a few menu items, then, yeah, they could produce it quite cheaply.
It's definitely not going to be as cheap as a little bit of plastic with a button in for a chat.
No, so yeah, it'd be interesting to see, and I'm more interested in the actual Apple TV product itself because, you know,
that's what that's what we were talking about the other day, isn't it? They've got to do something with that. It can't stay as it is. They've got to enhance it, but maybe they're almost chopping their market out by having the Mac Mini. They should be focusing on that, really. Maybe.
Yeah, I mean, my take on this is it's not true, but I thought I'd just, you know, mention it. It's out there.
Well, thanks for that.
I'm glad we just spent the time.
Well, if it's been reported on a website, then, you know, you've got to sort of...
We've just... No, I think it's fine. We just debunked that rumour and said that Boy Genius is speaking at his backside. iPhone. So App Store, as well, is very successful. So they announced this week that they've now had 2 billion app downloads.
2 billion.
It took 9 months to hit the first billion, just over a year to deliver 1.5 billion, and now just 76 days to get the next 500 million. So the actual downloads are accelerating. For me, issue is discovery. It's like trying to find apps in there is it's not easy. You're relying on all the other websites telling you that, you know, that Dropbox is out or this app's out or this game's out.
You need another app to find your apps.
Yeah, it's just, and I don't know about you, but the Genius that they added in for the App Store, I think, is rubbish.
I've not looked at it. It's not interested me.
Apart from games, I mean, it's like telling me I've got Remember the Milk, so do you want this other to-do application? No, I've got one. Yeah. You know, and it keeps on doing it. It keeps on just telling me a different app for what I've already bought, which is no use to me.
I think Genius... it even made you buy one product?
No.
No. Okay, Genius is fine for stuff like music, but for apps, it's like it's not the same... You know,
games is the only time I've seen it, because they've said you've bought this action game, so you might like this other action game. And that's a genre where you're going to repeatedly buy, you know, similar games, or you've bought this word game, so you've bought, I don't know, Bookworms, so you might like Wordle. You know, I can understand that, but I've got a to-do app, thanks very much. Staying with apps, Dropbox came out, which I know we all use. I don't know about you, but I thought the app was fantastic.
Yep, really nice. Nice and simple.
And it's free.
I put it on my phone. I couldn't remember my account details, so I haven't actually done anything more with it.
You are useless.
That's why you need one password.
Yes.
Oh, you don't have a Mac, sorry.
Stab, stab, stab.
It's like a little chip, isn't it? Chip, chip, chip.
Well, basically, it's the old Chinese water torch. So just drip, drip, drip. You know, and one day you'll just pop. We'll get you up to Glasgow, we'll take you to the Apple store.
I'll... come back the biggest fanboy ever.
Absolutely. And the final story, which to be honest should have been Henry's story, and you might notice that Henry's been quite quiet for the last half hour. He's went to answer the phone and never came back, so
we're a little bit worried.
Who knows what's happened, but it's a good start. It's either that or he's muted and he doesn't realize.
He could have been talking all this time.
Yeah, he's been adding loads of content, but
thinking we've ignored him.
But
keep talking over him.
There's an application called pCalc on the iPhone, which is a fantastic little calculator, which this week added in a profanity filter. So if you remember, you used to get your calculator and you'd do the calculation, you would spell out boobies and stuff like that.
No way.
Well, no more. Not on pCalc. So this is actually it's a company called TLA Systems, which is actually a guy called James Thompson, who's a Glasgow-based iPhone developer. And I think he's actually got quite an eye for, you know, adding in these little kind of funny features, but making sure that all the popular Apple websites and blogs get to hear about it. So it's a good bit of PR.
Yeah, that's good.
And gets everybody talking about these apps.
What happens if you happen to want to write 5319909.
Well worked out. Is that a boob?
I had to sort of turn my head upside down.
It's boobies. Just reminds me of school. And spelling out Shell Oil. for some reason.
Yeah, that, there are only a few words you could do, weren't there?
Shell oil, for some reason, was just amazing at the time. Anyway. Incredible.
And you had to put the little dot between the two words as well.
No, I never bothered. Separation. It was just all one flowing word for me. Gadgets and games. So our good old, we've got a couple of Palm pre-stories. Palm Web OS 1.2 came out. No iTunes syncing. Seemed to be a fairly solid update with lots of extra features. And everybody thought, well, they've just had to accept, and we covered it last week, the USB forum saying, you know, stop what you're doing, kidding on, you're another company, that's not the way to do it. But then on Friday, 1.2.1 came out, and iTunes syncing's back, so it's game on.
Yay!
Sharky, what have you got to say about that?
Get out!
You also picked up on the sales of the Palm Pre.
Well, going back to this activation thing, I'll be interested to know how they actually achieved it this time. Because we don't know that yet, do we?
Black magic.
They've probably done some other cheeky little, you know, hack in there. But, yeah. You'll find out. Find out and kick him out again. Sticking with the Palm Pre. Apparently, it's not been selling as well as Palm have been making it out to be. So they've basically been saying that they've sold, I think, around 810,000 units. But what that figure is the actual units sold to resellers. So they're not the actual units that have been activated. So
end users don't. There's not necessarily 810,000 end users.
That's right. Yeah.
Sneaky dogs.
Yeah. And it's kind of interesting because I mean, we don't really cover Palm Pre that much, other than whenever they try to hack into iTunes,
other than slagging it off.
Yeah. But you know, they've been doing like quite a few heavy discounts in America. So, but still not selling us, I think, as well as they expected it to be. So.
Yeah, and they've got the Pixie coming out, I think, very soon. What a bad name.
But then again, the you know, it's, is it launched in the UK now, Ian? Or is it
it's
soon?
A week on Friday it's launched.
Yeah, so
and it'll be O2 launching it. And I mean, I think, you know, when O2 announced that they were going to be doing the Palm Pre, I think everybody knew that that's them lost exclusivity with Apple. You know, so I think the announcements this week about Vodafone and Orange, it's been no big surprise.
Yeah. So, I mean, once it's out in the UK, you don't know whether, you know, maybe UK will have a stronger market share with the Palm Pre or not. But I just think, you know, it's a good enough device, and it's maybe it's just lacking something, you know. I don't know whether it's like an image thing or what. But
I think it's an image thing, but also there's been so much, you know, made in the App Store. And if you look at the apps on there, they're just not got the competition.
I mean, I certainly hope that, you know, it doesn't, like, die out, because I think as long as it's there, at least there's some competition for Apple to keep innovating.
Definitely.
If there's nothing there, then, you know, sort of sit back and chill out.
I don't know about you guys. One of the things that really frustrates me right now when I'm using computers is just how long it takes to transfer files around, whether it's via Ethernet or USB 2, so I've been dying for USB 3 to come along. There was an Intel announced Lightpeak this week, which seems to be, well, I don't know if it is a rival or not. Jackie, would you want to take us through that?
Yeah, okay. Well, Intel revealed this new, it's like an optical interconnect, and when I saw the word interconnect, I thought, oh, hi-fi, but apparently it's for mobile devices. And it can transfer at speeds of 10 gigabits per second. And the speeds can be maintained at over 100 meter runs of cables. What was interesting was that when they demoed this, the test rig was actually running OS 10.
Right.
Which is quite interesting. So the demo basically involved a single cable, just one cable, which was powering, well, not powering, but providing the picture for like a massive HD display, and at the same time it was transferring files to a drive, and that this was like all through one cable. So I mean that's quite a lot of data. I mean, I think it was a 1080p picture that was displaying on the screen, and I can't remember how much data was transferring to the drive, but for one cable to do all that is quite impressive, I think.
And do we know whether this is very much corporate focus, or is the technology going to be able to be scalable? That's what's important for home users and stuff.
Well, it seemed to all be about the home PC or the PC itself. They didn't seem to be talking about it from either a corporate or home usage. It was just this is a next generation of data transfer.
Mm. Well, what was even more interesting was the concept was actually developed by Apple and then presented to Intel.
Mm.
So Apple have had a hand in this. So I don't know whether it's supposed to be like a competing device for like against USB 3.
Right, that's my only worry. Because it's like if you look at FireWire and USB, I don't want to end up with, you know, I buy a new external drive and it's only USB 3. Or it only supports Lightpeak, you know. I don't want to get tied down again, and I don't want to end up with a, you know, if you're buying PCs, you can use USB 3, and if you're buying Macs, it's all Lightpeak.
Yeah,
you know, that would be a worry.
True, but I think it'll be a while yet before we see anything substantial coming out of this.
Yeah, I mean, part of me was actually one of the reasons I was maybe going to hang off buying any hardware was USB 3.
Yeah,
because I felt if I bought something now in 6 months' time, probably the hardware will start to pick up and actually support USB 3.
Actually, you just reminded me, after the last podcast that we did, I actually found an article which I was going to add to the show notes, but I then didn't think it was important enough. The first USB 3 drive has actually come out. Let me just find the article here. It's by Freecom.
Right.
And it's called the XS 3.0. So it's just like an external drive, really.
And what kind of data what kind of transfer improvements can we see? Do we know that detail?
Yep, hang on, give me a sec. I think it says it's about 130 megabytes per second, which isn't... I can't remember what USB...
I've got no frame of reference on it. I don't know what
exactly,
it is.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we'll find that out at some point.
Yeah, I'll do some more research and I'll maybe add a link to the show notes. But yeah, this is a Freecom and they've come up with the world's first super speed USB 3 hard drive.
And I think if Apple announced their new hardware in 2 weeks' time and said, by the way, it's USB 3, I'd be like, I'd buy it. But I'm fully expecting that it's nowhere near being ready yet.
And you'll buy it anyway.
Well, that's a bit that puts me off because, I mean, I've bought hardware just now that's lasted for 3 years. I don't want to buy something that I feel straight away because there's been a standards change, you know, onto USB 3 that you know, I'm left behind.
Hmm.
I'm probably just overanalyzing it as normal.
Yep.
Moving on to something completely different. FIFA 10. A couple of things I just wanted to mention. So this was we're well into gaming season and FIFA 10 came out on Friday. Chris, I know you've picked it up.
I did, yeah.
Shaquille, I know you have ordered it and had a very frustrating time trying to pick it up.
Yeah.
So I'll just go through a couple of my thoughts and then I guess, Chris, if you want to chip in anything. Online, certainly, it seems to be very smooth. Very much like the incremental updates we expected. Some nice manual controls in there, which I want to move to, but I find are a bit too hard for me right now. They've really changed online clubs, which was off-putting at first. It's really forcing us to play through the offline game, which I hate. But I think I can understand why they've done it, and it's to try and get everybody moving away from playing the certain teams and always picking the same player and basically putting it down to skill. So if you get beat, you are getting beat by players that are more skilled than you rather than just a better in-game character. I think one thing that stood out pretty nastily was just the way EA have done their store this time, and it's things like I could be playing somebody else online, but they've bought basically a perk that makes them a better player or gives them better characters to play with, and you can renew that every, so I think it was if you pay 200 points you get 20 games worth of being a top striker, and then when it runs out you need to buy it again.
Yeah, I mean, some of the direction of this. I mean, the game itself, other than the fact the menu system is pretty unfathomable.
The menu system is rubbish.
It's pretty slick. It all feels slickly done.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's, when you're actually playing the game, it's like I say, it's silky smooth. The online seems to be good. We're all chatting away and playing. But there are some elements in here that I just think they're pretty ugly, and that store is the biggest one of the lot. I mean, I've just paid 40 quid for a game, and I won't be playing this game offline very much. Well, I mean, the fact I'm being forced to play it offline at all is a pain, quite frankly.
Yeah.
I'm not into my football games. The only reason I'm playing it is I want to play with my mates online. And I don't want to get to that playground thing where I'm the last person to be picked each week because I am clearly the most rubbish player.
But if you think back to Forza 2, it was the exact same deal. You know, so some of us like to play offline, but you know, the majority of the guys in our friends list are just wanting to play online.
I agree, but there was at least the default settings of cars that, you know, there was at least some cars you could play with.
There were some cars, but there wasn't really. You know, so it meant you had to play offline, you had to unlock cars, and then you could take them online and play.
And I guess that's the difference, is the fact that I like my racing games. Yeah, but so I'm just find that a pain. You know, and that's, yeah. No, it's exactly the same. But and it would have been nice had they just unlocked, nearly all the cars for online use.
Yeah.
But it's same here, and even I might have even been paying to go to their store and download a nearly fully updated character. You know, so I didn't have to play offline.
I still,
which they've done for their golf games before, haven't they?
Yeah,
you could unlock a fully skilled out player.
I still think this is EA dipping their toes into the, you will no longer be buying a bit of media, you'll be just paying to play FIFA.
Yeah, well then don't charge me 40 quid.
No, but I think that I think that's maybe where we're going. You know, each year there's only so much you can add to the game from an actual new disc, you know, that they can't just do via a download. So I can see them moving to maybe a subscription service or some other way of actually paying rather than just paying this initial once a year fee.
We'll see. I mean, I say that it certainly made me uncomfortable. That whole store experience made me, you know, I was thinking, you know, with all the kind of live stats updates, you can kind of see why they might have to sort of charge for that service. But to be honest, I think they could have easily included that in the price of the game.
I think so.
And actually, that makes the game so much better rather than having to
spend
more money. I found it ugly. That's what I found.
Just one thing I wanted to mention in pricing. I usually just pre-order my games either from Game or Gameplay or somewhere else online. Usually they come early, thanks to the Workshire Communist Post Office. The employees. There was no deliveries. I've still not got the one that I've ordered from Gameplay. Still not arrived.
It's still not there.
The one I ordered from Gameplay was £38. Instead, I went to Morrison's and paid $24.99. I was quite surprised.
I'm bitter about that as well.
Well, that's what's annoyed me, because I ordered it from Gameplay as well. Yep. And like yourself, didn't arrive on Friday as I expected. And then I saw your tweet about Morrison's and Tesco's in Asda.
Yeah.
So there's a local Tesco's. I popped in there. Didn't expect anything. And yep. There wasn't anything there. They had like a small little display saying FIFA 10 for $24.97, I think it was.
Mm.
But it was all empty. So I drove like for 10 miles to a different Tesco's. Again, there was nothing there. Then I drove to Morrison's. They had one Xbox copy, but no PS3.
He probably spent 15 quid in petrol.
And then I went again the next day. Next day, both of the Tescos had
you desperado.
They had Xbox copies, but no PS3. So I ordered it online. But good thing was I used Quidco and I got 7% cash back as well. So I think overall it's going to cost me about £23.50.
Bargain.
Which isn't too bad.
I paid £40.
Well, you
so
could.
I'm going to return the Gameplay one as soon as
I don't
it
even
arrives.
Like football.
Yeah, and I'm just going to return the Gameplay one as well. And I've cancelled all my Gameplay pre-orders.
And you know what I'm thinking? I'm thinking now when Uncharted 2 comes out, I'm going to sort of keep my eye out on Tesco's and Morrison's and Asda, see if it's any cheaper.
I'm actually not going to pick up Uncharted 2 until Christmas.
Right, okay.
There's too many games competing for my time.
Yeah.
You know, and if I know I'm going to get Forza. Modern Warfare's out, you know, 3 weeks later. And these are ones that I know I'm going to play online, so I want to play them now when everybody's playing them. Whereas
don't
Uncharted,
forget, you've got God of War 1 and 2 repack.
Yeah, so what I'm thinking of doing is God of War 1 and 2, Uncharted and Left 4 Dead, I'll leave till Christmas.
Christmas, right.
Speaking of Left 4 Dead.
Yeah, that's one game that ain't going to be taking up your time, at least the original version.
Yeah, so me, Chris and Brian paid for our downloadable content, even though it was for it was only two episodes, so quite short, but it was only 500 points or whatever, so downloaded it. And what a horrible, horrible gaming experience it was. I've never so much looked forward to a game or been so impressed with a game and extra content come out and burst its bubble as much as that did.
It just completely ruined anything that it ever had.
Yeah.
You know.
We actually thought Xbox Live had broke. It was that bad. We're all suffering stuttery. Well, sorry, I wasn't suffering it, but whoever was hosting was suffering stuttery lag.
I was having stuttery all over the place as well.
You could looked in a room and you could see what it looked like was you could see through the whole building. Once you walked into the room, then all the textures loaded. But if you turned around and looked outside, there was no textures anymore.
And this was right at the beginning. So any playtest that had been done would have picked up on something like that.
There was massive containers you could walk into and just walk through. There was cars you could walk through. It just looked like it hadn't been tested.
At all.
And
so basically our advice is do not part with your money.
No, don't buy it. You know, buy,
not at all. Just
Left 4 Dead 2. Assuming the reviews are good, it's certainly going to be worthwhile because original Left 4 Dead is a good game.
I have every confidence Left 4 Dead 2 will be worth every penny, but the original game is worth it. Just do not buy this upgrade or this downloadable. It's just not worth it.
Definitely not.
Piece of pie.
Let's move on to some picks. Unfortunately, it'll just be the three of us because Henry's still not back from the longest ever phone call known to man.
I hope he's all right.
Yeah, hope so. Well,
it's either that or he just didn't want to join us today, and this was the best excuse he could come up with.
He phoned himself.
Phoned himself and just walked away.
Text his mate to phone him.
Get me out of here.
Get out.
Chris, your pick this week.
Yep, my pick. So I got a video funny through from someone at work. And it made me laugh, but it had a link at the end of it called to this website called Extra Normal, where it was created. And basically, Extra Normal is a website that allows you to make your own videos. Basically, you type in the script, and then it uses virtual cartoon actors to act out your scene. And you can change the camera angles, you can add expressions, you can do all sorts of things, get them moving around, get them moving from room to room. But basically, the fun is that you can obviously write your script, and then you can generate a movie which you can share or even upload to YouTube if you want. It's in the beta phase at the moment, but it all seemed to be working very nicely, and it was quite a lot of fun.
So is this online only, or do you download a client?
No, it's all done via the website. There's actually servers set up that sort of convert your thing on the fly, and then when you're happy with everything, it does a final version which is in high quality, and I can see some clever people out there making some pretty funny things with it.
I look forward to seeing some funny things from you in the near future.
That's extranormal.com, and that's extra with an X at the front, so it's XTRA.
Excellent.
Is that with an X as well?
Moving on, Shankill, your pick, please.
Yeah, mine is a bit of a cheapie. It's an iPhone app. It's 59p.
Oh, for goodness sake, not an iPhone app.
I know. I didn't have a pick today.
You slagged me off. No less than 2 hours ago for having a cheap and nasty pick.
Well, mine is the same. It's Droplets. It's a 59p game on the App Store, or you can go for the light version, which is free. And basically, it's just a little puzzle type game. You have a series of dials on your screen, and you have a set number of balls. So basically, you've got two dials at the top which sort of rotate, and each dial basically has like paths, and it could be like various different paths. And what you have to do is you have to create like a path from like top to bottom, so that as the little balls fall down, they don't just fall into like nowhere. So there's like no.
So are the dials turning?
Yeah, you each of the dials, as you tap them, they turn, and each dial has a path in it which is like different shape to the rest. So you have to like create like a path from top to bottom.
So it's a timing issue. You have to get it started at the right time. Is that right?
No.
You can actually stop them from moving.
Basically, the two dials at the top keep rotating, and they're the only ones that rotate. And as they sort of point down, a ball will drop out of them. So And if it hits like a sphere which has no path, no straight through path, the ball will then disappear and you lose that ball. So you have to basically try to get as many balls to fall from top to bottom as you can. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm just
something's tickled in. Just talking about balls.
That's the best explanation of a game I've heard in a long time.
I'm trying to remember. There used to be a game on like Amstrad, I think, ages ago. Similar sort of idea. You had to get something from like one end of the screen to the other, and you had to create like a path for it. And this is all it is. You have to create a path for this ball to fall down. And that's it's a simple concept, but it's quite difficult.
I'm going
addictive.
To download the light version, and I shall have a go.
It's only 59p, just buy it.
No. Not based on that description.
I've just went to their website, and I now understand what you mean.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. There's a video there as well, actually. I'll put a link to it in the show notes, because I'm sure that'll be a better explanation than that. Right, my cheap and nasty pick this week. I knew you'd start moaning as soon as I said it. It's an iPhone game. And
really?
Yeah, wow. It's a game called Cannibalt. It's £1.79, and there's no light versions. And it's also based on a Flash game that's free. So I'm sure some people are going to be like, I ain't paying £1.79 for a free game. But I think it's excellent. It's if you think of this type of graphics like you used to see in Flashback all those years ago, it's a side-scrolling game, and all you need to do is basically just your guy runs, and you just need to time his jumps through an ever-changing landscape. To me, it's the type of game that just works so well on the iPhone. If you've just got a few minutes you want to kill, you can fire it up. And it's just one button, just touch to jump, and that's it.
Would you jump over? Is it like?
You're running, you escape from a building, and then you're jumping over gaps and boxes and things that fall from the sky. And it's running at quite a pace as well. So the good thing is, although there's not a light version, you can go online and try it on their website. So their website is www.adamatomic.com/cannibalt. I'll put the link in the show notes. One thing that really does stand out is plug some headphones in, because the music's amazing in it. It's really, really good. And I'm trying to remember the other game where it recommended, you know, you plug headphones in because of how good the music was.
That was Zenbound, wasn't
Zenbound,
it?
Yeah. Well, I'm thinking the music in this is even better. So a lovely little game, and just a great little 5-minute time killer. And my high score at the moment is 6,500 if somebody wants to try and beat that, which I'm sure they will.
And perhaps make a comment about it on the website.
But make sure the comment goes to Chris.
Yeah.
Thanks, Tam, for giving Chris that comment last week, because his heart was all...
It made me happy.
His heart was all fluttery.
But it's bringing my step.
And Henry, what's your pick this week?
Oh, no.
Damn, he's not there still. Well, that's us. What a great...
And just about in time for you, Ian.
It was. What a great contribution from our new member.
Yep. It was all good for the first 30 minutes.
Yeah. So, apologies on Henry's behalf. I'm sure he's had to dive away to do something quite urgent. That was all a bit unfortunate.
Yep. I'm sure he'll be back.
I'll be back.
Yep.
Somebody had to do it. So, if you want to find out more about us, you can visit our website, www.digitaloutbox.com. And if you like to comment on the website, or if you want to drop us an email, info@digitaloutbox.com, and we will respond promptly. Also, we have a Twitter account, Digital Outbox. Shaquille, where can we find out more about you?
ShaquilleNaim.com is my blog. Shaq N is my Twitter account.
And on Facebook?
Shaquille Naim.
Fantastic. Chris?
Yep, so my Twitter is CheesyUK and my blog is chrishutchinson.org.uk.
Fantastic. Now, for me, my blog is END.net, and my Twitter account is Schweeper. And finally, I may as well throw in Henry's web address, just so you can actually, you know, you've not heard from him much today, but you can go and read about him. If you go to talkrhubarb.com, which I still think is a great...
What a great domain.
It's just a great domain. It's fantastic. So if you go to talkrhubarb.com, and he's got a WordPress blog. So talkrhubarb.com/WordPress is where his blog is. And yeah, it's just an absolutely fantastic domain name. I was very jealous when he got that one. It was like, damn, he's thought of something good. And that's us.
All done for another week.
All done and dusted. Although I think there'll be a lot of editing this week.
I think there might be.
So thanks again for tuning in. And hopefully you'll catch up with us again soon. Goodbye.
See ya.
Bye.
Henry, where are you?
He's lost.
Henry.
I'll need to give him a phone.
Sounds very dodgy. Yes, do apologise about that. I don't want to kind of interrupt and then say I've got to go and rescue my daughter. No, I just got back just now. No. So.